Hello, and welcome to another edition of Fashion 411. It's never just about the clothing. And today we're going to talk about another supermodel going green. We love that. We have supermodel Dancing with the Stars alumni Josie Maran. But before we go and talk to her, we're going to talk about, like, oh my Lord, is it a beautiful day in California? If you don't live in LA, you need to get over here and come visit. Come move here, because the weather is, like, mind-blowing. What happens when the weather is so lovely on leap year, you all, you leap year babies, happy birthday, you exist. And how many times do we have leap year? Can someone say, is it every four years? Every 4 years. So every four, you're, how old are you? If you're my age, you're only really 20. Ugh, how exciting is that? So what happens when you're basically getting dressed and it's been cold and rainy, and now today it's really nice and you've got all that gear packed away? Don't pack it away. Only pack away the real sort of summer, and always keep all your all year weather clothing out. Leave everything out, so when you have a moment and it's really nice like this, you don't have to scramble in the morning. You just pull that little summer top out or those linen pants and you start rocking your stuff, because I've been already seeing people on the street thinking they didn't get the news report. It's hot. And they're still dressed for winter, and that's got to suck. So, okay, so let's move into our fantastic guest, Josie Maran. And because, again, I used to be an agent, it was so funny this morning when I was giving her the details of how to get her. I felt like I was giving her a booking. Because, of course, it's only my sixth show, but she's the only one that didn't get the email, and that would be very normal in the world of modeling, is that didn't get the information, got on the wrong plane, in a wrong country. So I felt like I was just back at home again, and I felt like I had to take extra care to make sure that she had the details for today. But the difference is that the supermodels that are on my show, they're supermodels because they got their stuff together. So even though I thought I had to take care of her, this girl has it going on. So let's find out what she's got going on, because if you know her, you know her as the face of Maybelline Cosmetics, which I did not know for over a decade. I knew that she was the cover girl for Maybelline, but I didn't know that it was 10 years. That is such a coup. She also was in Sports Illustrated, the swimwear edition, of course, because I don't think she plays any major sports, and don't think she's a guy. She is not a guy. And so she was in that for 3 years, which is quite celebrated. She also went on to acting and was in Van Helsing, Little Black Book, and
The Aviator.
I was so impressed. I was so impressed. But what she's talking to us about today, besides all those fun deets, is the fact that she's got a conscience. She had a little one, and now she's basically a mama, and she is going to talk to us about this fantastic line of cosmetics that she's created called Josie Maran Cosmetics. So that's what we're here talking about, is how we can help you. She's going to tell you about all her fantastic life, and if you ever wanted to be a model, listen in, because she'll tell you about some of the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what we're here for. Fashion 411, it's never just about the clothing. It's how does it make you feel? So say hello to Josie. Hi, Josie.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, guys.
Now, Josie and I are both Bay Area brats, and as I was reading in her bio, I'm from San Mateo, so Bay Area would be California, and Josie is from Menlo Park, but the thing, Menlo Park, Atherton, which if you don't know the Bay Area, that's very well-to-do.
Well, I lived not in the well-to-do part of Menlo Park. It was next to the 101, and yeah, I was the ghetto.
You were the ghetto
of Menlo Park. It's not that ghetto.
All right. I mean, because if there's a ghetto in Menlo Park, because I was reading her bio, how she said, you know, she really grew up a bohemian lifestyle. I thought, if I was not Jewish and didn't grow up in San Mateo, would I perhaps be able to go back and claim a bohemian lifestyle? No.
Well, my father's side is Jewish, and so they're laughing whenever they read the bohemian comment. But my mother's side is just white. But they are kind of more hippie-ish, but it's really just that, like, I grew up throwing eggshells in the compost, and that was completely normal. And my mom is really into, like, going dumpster diving and figuring out what we can make out of, like, trash.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we are, like, I didn't know that we were connected this much. I mean, I have to say, I didn't grow up in the ghetto of Menlo Park, and by the way, that's not the ghetto.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting to think that we had parallel mothers. I didn't go dumpster diving. I'm going to go ask my mom about that later. But tell me what dumpster diving is.
It's just going, especially when it's, you know, in nice neighborhoods, there's usually cool things in the trash. So you go and you reuse things that you find in the trash and figure out ways to make them into art or things to play with or just cool ideas. It's a constant creativity being
this
reused.
This girl has been, you know what? I've been green my whole life. This is not a trend. I mean,
I've been green. And my dad's also a green builder. So that's
oh my God. So what's so amazing is that when we were basically publishing my book, Closet Control, mm-hmm. the publishers were saying, well, you're really not that green. And I'm like, yeah, that's I'm green enough. I rework, reuse, recycle, teach people how to sell their clothing. I'm actually, if you don't mind, going to steal dumpster diving for my
Love
next
it.
Book.
Brilliant.
Because, I mean, seriously, we
Someone's
have to have that mentality that something comes from nothing, and trash is never trash. And we want to really understand that what you're throwing away that has no use has use for someone else.
I would get in trouble for throwing away, like, old socks.
Oh, my God.
My mom cuts up. Cashmere is her, of course, obsession. So you send her holy cashmere socks, whole cashmere, anything that's been used, and she uses them for everything. But the funniest one and the best one is she cuts them up into patches and then sews them into your crotch area, so you have really soft crotch areas in your jeans, which are not so soft.
I'm stealing that too. That wasn't in my book, Closet Control. I'm kind of bummed. I mean, I'm gonna have to lift
have
for
my mom.
Mom
write the book with you.
I might have to have a chat with your mom, because the interesting thing is that I talk about in the book about how to cut up cashmere and how
duh. Gotta reuse cashmere.
Duh! Can we get a big
duh?
Oh my God, I feel like I just met a boy, because that's what I get like when I get really excited, because I think I just met a sister, a younger sister from another lifetime, grew up in the same area, so maybe I was more bohemian than I thought.
I think so.
Because, you know, two Jewish parents, it's hard to get that bohemian.
Yeah, two. See, I only had one.
Yeah. So, okay, so then talk about what is this, I'm learning with you, what is compost?
Composting. It's when you stick all your like leftover banana peels and eggshells and just anything that can break down into dirt, like food usually, and even you can put paper in it, and it's like this thing, and you put it in your garden, and it turns everything back into dirt, and then you use that in your garden. It's a great soil for your growing your plants. So it's a constant recycle.
So, okay, this is really important, and I'm really excited.
You don't know about composting?
Well, I know about composting, okay. But I really am really hip on dumpster diving now.
Okay.
I mean, it's like my new term. I'm going to walk into these mansions and go, dude, you got to dumpster dive.
Yeah, I want to dumpster dive at the mansion. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So, I mean, and that's the thing, is that it's really what we think we don't have value for, somebody else is always going to like. So when we're done with something, and we say, especially, and I hate to out like a show like Tim Gunn or What Not to Wear, because they really are doing some fun things, except for the fact is that they do show you throwing things in a garbage can. They do show you throwing things out. If something doesn't work for you anymore and can't go to your niece, grandmother, aunt, be recycled, reworked, cut up into your crotch, for God's sakes, because that is the most clever thing I've heard, then basically you want to clean your spot with it. You want to clean your place with it, and then you're going to throw it away. We just don't want a landfill. What doesn't break down? Do you know, since you're a compost girl, what doesn't break down that's going into the universe?
Plastics and glass that you can't put in a compost, but that's very recyclable. I mean, the worst thing on the planet right now is plastic, just basic plastic. What else doesn't break down? Like toxic inks and toxic chemical-laden things, you know?
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, take what you're going to take and make that work again, but what doesn't break down. But just don't put the cashmere sweater in the ground.
No.
Those jeans are missing out. All right, so let's talk about how did you get into, because, you know, you're a girl that's got it going on. You're very smart, very intelligent. How did the world of modeling come to you?
Oh, back in the Bay Area, I was at a fashion. At a barbecue, and someone just asked me to be in a Benetton fashion show.
Oh my God!
I was 12 years
back
old.
Back in the day,
yeah.
The Benetton.
Yeah, it was
keep
cool.
It real.
And I was just in this fashion show, and there was an agent there, and I was very spunky in my fashion show. I was 12 and very excited, and she just asked me to be part of her agency, and it just kind of domino affected all the way until I'm 29 now, and I'm still modeling, so that's 17 years. It's been a long
time. You have to understand that also, when a gal gets in at 12 and to the age that she's at, and thank you for sharing your age, because we also are going to do shows on aging, and most women don't want to talk about their age, and most gals in the modeling industry are always telling their age much younger.
Mm-hmm.
people say to me all the time, but Barbara, you don't understand. I can't talk about my age because the industry I'm in. I'm like, I'm 41 and I'm in a fashion industry. I don't think it gets any younger than that. And I keep getting older while everyone gets younger. It just means I'm going to share it even more. So thank
me
you for
too.
Sharing
and
your
I think
age.
That that's just part of the reason why I've worked so hard to make my name worth something, just so I can hopefully start saying my age and making that cool and people are start being proud to say their age.
Rock on. Say it proud, be it loud. 29, yes. Got nothing to hide.
Right.
Okay. When you're at 41 plus, you know, you want, I'm sitting in a place where I'm like, I feel really good. I would not want to go back to 29. But I have to say, when girls start as young as they do, and if they get the opportunity to just have their careers domino, let's talk about some of the things that have happened, because as we have our young celebrities now, we're seeing a lot of things that are occurring that you were lucky enough to miss. Did you work and go to school? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, for high school and I guess junior high, I had a tutor, but I didn't miss that much school. So it was, I did both. And
did
my
both.
Mom drove me to San Francisco for my jobs, and it was like a family affair. It wasn't.
So
I
you're
wasn't
probably working for like Macy's and Mervyn's
and Levi's and Esprit and Benetton, you know.
And Benetton. So, okay, so the thing is now, this is the thing, because for all the listeners that have daughters, or the listeners that basically wanted to be a model, still want to be a model, the daughters want to be a model. My sister said, oh, my niece is now a model and she's 2, and I thought, cool, like the last thing I'd want is
my daughter is 20 months old and I've gotten so many offers for her to model and to be on covers
of course
with me
you have.
And to do things with me, campaigns with me, and honestly, like, I made that decision to not, my boyfriend and I made the decision to not have her be a model until she can actually choose it for herself. And I just
Hallelujah.
Feel like, yeah, that's just...
It just really is. Like, when it happens to someone like it does for Josie, it that's how it's supposed to happen. I mean, sometimes...
And I chose at 12 to do it, and I had, you know, some good support. So, luckily, I was very grounded with my love. I had a lot of love, and it hasn't messed me up.
No, it hasn't, because you know what? I remember when I used to... I've actually haven't met Josie today. When I saw her, of course, I want to talk to her, too, about this. I felt like I knew her, but I didn't. And I'm not even... You know, I used to handle so many different celebrities, so I'm beyond not starstruck, but I just wanted to hug her, and I didn't even know her. I talked to her once when I was at Elite, and I just remember going, this girl is really down. This girl is really cool. She's really, like, she's got... You can tell the girls that are grounded. So what do you think? I just feel like let the child decide. Let's stage momming is sort of why we're having the Britneys and the Lindsays. What do you think?
Definitely. I mean, you just there's so much to enjoy in your childhood that I really don't think it should be about business already. I mean, this country is so about money and so about fame, and I think we should just let kids develop naturally without, you know, forcing all that on them too early.
Because what happens when you have Miley Cyrus and she's on Barbara Walters and she has her own wing and she's 15? I personally, in my opinion, from watching the structure of how she poses on the carpet, mm-hmm. This is an interesting topic that I can say to you too, because from being an agent for so many years, young girls don't understand sexuality yet. They know how to try it on. They're trying it on. They're playing dress up.
Yeah.
When I see Miley Cyrus, who is obviously a devout religious person, I'm still concerned that she's being programmed. What happens, and can you talk about this, did you go to Europe, did you do the rounds where you're not with the parents under the parents' supervision, and now you're kind of like, well, okay, you're impressionable?
Yeah, luckily I did go to Spain for 2 months with Elite, and my mom came with me, and they were like, you should get on the treadmill and work out every day, and I was like, but we'd go to this town center and eat gallons of Haagen-Dazs. It was just, I just never took it so serious where I was going to give up a big part of myself for it. So luckily I was blessed. I don't know how I got so lucky, but I could stay myself and still be appreciated in that industry. So
you didn't do a lot of traveling on your own then when you weren't on parental supervision.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because can you talk to me about this too? Because, you know, you started at 12 and now you're 29, and I keep saying my age at 41, and I'm let me tell you, when you start getting intimate later on, it's just a whole nother story. Just think what you have to look forward to.
I'm excited.
I mean, it is unbelievable. So what I want to say is from just being a younger girl too, when we put sexuality on for the camera, where is it coming from? Like, where are you pulling it from? Are you mimicking something? Are you imitating something?
I think it's a feeling that I have inside that this, you know, at very young age, I think I was making up what I thought it was to be sexy. But it's honestly, for me, it's like this feeling that I get that I just feel good. And then that, I was told, you know, right away that that was, that looked beautiful and sexy. So I just kind of kept with that. And
you kept doing it again.
Feeling, yeah.
Because it's so funny, my niece is 3, and I'm telling you, she just lives and dies and breathes Dora, and I'm telling you, it's a monologue of Dora. She sounds like Dora. And what was so interesting is I thought, wow, she's learning, she knows what an anaconda is, and I was in Michael Kors yesterday and saw it on a bag, and thought, felt kind of sad. And but at the same time, she's learning what she's learning, so she's imitating. And so also, when girls are getting dressed and trying on, there's still sort of that whole sort of how to be sexy, and someone told you to do it this way. Did you find your own way, or...
I really did, unless a photographer told me to, like, move my arm because it looked weird or something. I had no idea about fashion and posing and anything until I turned like 17 or 18, and then I started like studying a little bit what was like cool fashionable poses. But I don't know, I really found it on my own, and I was also really into sex since really young. Not I didn't have sex at really young, but I was into talking about it and learning about it and hearing anything that was just like sexual. I wanted to be a sex therapist since I was really young. I was like, I'm the next Dr. Ruth. So, I think it was, I'm naturally, like,
naturally
sexual.
Prone to
it. And I just also like to say that I've moved into sensual rather than sexual, because that's more of a matured, enlightened sexuality.
That's right, enlighten up on Karma Air.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this interesting? I tell you, these supermodels, they're not supermodels for no reason. They're smarty parties. Okay, so if you have any questions, and we hope you do, please call in to 1-888-49-KARMA, 1-888-495-2762, and stay tuned. We've got more Josie coming back.
This is KarmaAir.com.
Have you tried California Psychics yet? We've done over 1 million readings. What are you waiting for? If you have a question about love, career, or just life, get a confidential psychic reading in the privacy of your own home. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever experienced, it's free. Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit our website, californiapsychics.com. Try California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT or go to californiapsychics.com. California Psychics, the best or it's free.
This is Richard Roundtree, and you're exactly where you're supposed to be. KarmaAir.com.
Yeah, you are. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. You're with Fashion 411 and Barbara Horowitz and Josie Marin. All right, Josie, so let's talk a little bit more about supermodels. So when did things start really kind of rolling for you? Like, what were some of the biggest things where you're like, man, I just got da-da-da-da?
Yeah. I think the beginning of the supermodelism was the Guess campaign. I was 18, and I remember I was like, if this happens, this will change my life, and it did.
And who did you work with? Because there's definitely some legendary people. Is there anyone that the listener might know?
Some of the girls.
Photographers.
Of
girls. Girls and photographers, models and photographers.
I'm trying to remember some of the girls that I don't think you guys would know, but they'd probably be mad at me if I said that, because they are still working. But the photographers was Pablo Alfaro and Daniela Federici. They're pretty well known.
Yeah, they're pretty well known.
Yeah, that was the beginning. And the crazy thing is that I had this dream of being the Maybelline girl. Like I said, I wasn't into fashion. I had no idea what the modeling world was like. But I saw Christy Turlington on a commercial when I was like 12, and I just said I want to be that girl. And I knew she was from San Francisco as well. So
you know, and she is from San Francisco. And I actually just saw her on something last night on Vogue TV, and she was talking about how she just did a campaign I can't remember who the jewelry designer was, but she said there was a philanthropic reason behind it, and that was what got her out there. But also, what got her out there was her daughter, because she was like, I don't want to be primped and prodded and poked, but you know what? My daughter is like, Mommy, you know, you get to go play dress up. And so she's seeing it from another point of view.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the fact that, you know, for the girls that want to be models, for the moms that want to get their kids into it, there's a lot of not you that comes into when you're getting ready to work for someone else, because mm-hmm. you're basically there to perform, you're there to produce,
mm-hmm.
and there is a sort of like someone's pulling your hair, doing your makeup, and as glamorous as it sounds, it can get trying.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that? Or was it trying for you ever?
See, for me, I am blessed with this really easygoing thing, and it was like fun. I love people and new people, so I just like I felt like I was, you know, with a crazy family, a new family every time I was on a shoot. So I really enjoyed it, but I can imagine if you don't have that personality, then it can be, it's like my brother actually modeled when he was young, and he just ended up hated it. He hated being told what to do, and he hated people touching him, and luckily he just decided not to do it. But I think people are pressured into doing it, and there's money, and then there's fame and all this stuff, so it really takes a certain kind of person to do it. And if you're a person that's, I mean, especially for young girls, like, are impressionable, and if you're not really, you know, I mean, I can't say I knew who I was or I was so secure, but like, if there's a lot of girls that probably would just do it because of the wrong reason. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you really have to be in touch with your kid and not be egotistical as a mom and selfish, and just really look out for your kid.
You really got to understand what they're showing, because my sister was like so excited to have her in this little cute, I mean, we have the pictures and they're adorable, whatever catalog it is, whatever little kids editorial it is, and we'll have them forever. But my sister got to notice that her daughter didn't like it, and yeah, so she immediately pulled her out of it.
That's great.
Which is really great, you know. And you are basically one of the few, because it, not, you know,
I know that's why my story is kind of boring to people, because it's like, I loved it, it was great, and I was successful. Like, it's just,
but you know, that's why you were successful, and it's very unique. But I think for the listener to understand that every day when you go to a new job, and if you're lucky to work even 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 times a week, I mean, most girls that are not working, they're not even working that much, so they're very excited for the opportunity. But when you really start to work, every day is a new family, and sometimes you don't like everyone in that family, and it's hard to understand that all personalities have to mesh. So you're really quite blessed,
and you have to take criticism, you know, with a grain of salt, because there's a lot of it, and you have to not take it personally. And I don't know how, I just didn't, and I just had fun. So
that's another thing too, because, you know, you go on these castings every day. When you're lucky enough to not have to go on the casting, because you're just being, now you've basically built a certain career. There is something in the fact that, you know, Josie, can you go to the gym? Josie, can you do this? Josie, can you do this?
I mean, I was told by a lot of, at a certain point, especially like when I turned 20, I think I started like moving out of my little girl body and started gaining weight. And they were like, you need to get a trainer. I'm getting calls from the clients, you know, you've gained weight. So like, there's a lot of pressure. I mean,
a lot of pressure. And these are, and this, let's just understand that, you know, this is basically, most of these girls are underweight anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's not really like how to keep it together, understanding that it's a job while you're still very young. That's, those lines are very hard to blur. Yeah. So, okay, so let's talk about Maybelline. How did that come around?
Maybelline, so I honestly, I went to bed every night since I was 12 to like 18 when I got it, or 19 when I got it. And wished to be the Maybelline girl. It's so bizarre.
The
and
secret.
I manifested it. Yeah, that's like the whole point. Before The Secret came out, I would tell that story. But I really believe that I just had
like
a dream.
Holmes,
I
made it. Tom Cruise.
Did she really do that?
I guess she dreamed that always.
See?
Dreamt that.
I mean, you can make your dreams come true.
You know, but it is an amazing thing. Here Josie goes to sleep, and then she
weird
is.
Weird Maybelline. But honestly, the Maybelline contract was a huge, I mean, where we're going next is my makeup line, and it was, I maybe knew it was going to be the beginning of something else for me. So.
But also, too, to get a 10-year contract, I mean, lucrative.
Yeah.
And really nice, because, you know, the thing about what's interesting about this show for me is the fact that I was an agent for 8 years, and a lot of the reasons why I'm talking about the backstories of modeling is that a lot of girls basically can get a campaign, and they go and have a party. They go have fun. And, you know, there's girls that either shoot all their savings out the window, or there's girls like Annie Morton, who we had on for her line, Sheila, who saved every dollar of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do? Were you a spender or a saver?
I was a saver, other than sushi. Like, I decided that I wanted to make a lot of money so I could eat whatever I wanted. That was my motivation. So I've saved all the money, except for, you know, I was like, all right, food's on me, who wants to come? And I love eating, so I just like indulged.
Did you hear? She loves eating. It's very healthy. We need to eat. I just had a client the other day that I've never had a client that was exactly my age and in my month born. And I had said to her, she wanted to lose 5 more pounds. And I'm like, you know what? You need to put 5 more pounds on.
Right.
And I'm going to help you shape what you think in your perception is a body issue, which isn't a body issue. It's just shifting the proportions of how she's getting dressed. Mm-hmm. But the big issue is that there's no, she's losing the weight in her face.
Yeah.
And as we get older, we want to keep as much weight on. So, okay, we want to get into the cosmetic line, but we got to talk about Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
So, because that's like, you know, every girl's dream to be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they just booked me and it went well, and then it just kept going for 3 years. They actually wanted me back for more, but then I began to start acting, and I just I didn't want to have that I didn't want to not be taken seriously, so I actually stopped. I said no thank you.
And again, smarty at the party, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of what needs to understand is that when you're modeling, you want to understand that there's two models. There's the model that basically has a career that goes straight up, does all the runway shows, does all the advertising campaigns, makes a name for herself. Christy Turlington, great example.
Mm-hmm.
Then as she starts to get older, things become a different priority, family, kids, then major catalog and advertising campaigns mm-hmm. come in. And then, of course, you're picking and choosing. And then, of course, you're starting businesses that are based on what you care about. This Christy Turlington's career and Josie Maran's career are great examples of what you want to have if you put your child in modeling
mm-hmm.
or you yourself want to model, is the mm-hmm. fact that you want to do it with a bigger purpose. And
yeah.
you had a bigger purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But you had some fun. Come on, did we have some fun?
Oh my gosh, I had so much fun. And I met so many interesting people. And yeah, I definitely say if you feel like you got some, you know, the groundedness, the foundation to just stick it through, you know, lots of criticism, and then just try it out, and it'll be a crazy ride. But, you know, you gotta stay strong.
It's a super ride, because the thing is, too, is that, you know, a lot of these girls that are coming in, I mean, you know, you're told that you're pretty, and I really want to talk about the first layer of pretty. The first layer of pretty but is great, but it isn't who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important that Josie's on today, and Annie as well. Annie was from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Couldn't be any more grounded. I think that's why these girls are on this
but
show.
But also, yeah, she likes grounded. Barbara likes grounded girls. But also, I really do think that a lot of the success of us, Annie and I, is people actually hired us because we were easy to be with, and that's a huge part of being a model, is that you can, you know, adapt to new families, new little shoots, and new teams. So people, if you're annoying and crazy, people don't want to have you on it. So that's like way old school to be Naomi Campbell on a shoot. You know, you can't be a diva and on a shoot. Like, people don't want to hire you. So you have to be kind of smart and interesting and have fun. And cool.
And you know what, too, because I asked Annie the same question, because it isn't a mistake that I have the very grounded girls on that have gone on entrepreneurial, because, you know, after they always say you're only good as your seat is warm. Mm-hmm. So the minute that I stopped being a booker, obviously I stopped having a lot of contact with mm-hmm. a lot of girls, because I couldn't help them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I stayed close to were the girls that were grounded and that were real.
Mm-hmm.
And Annie said the same thing. She said that, you know what, I just stayed who I was. And interestingly enough, for me to actually come, I have a big issue with me coming in front of the camera, now being outside in the open, because I was the person that handled all of you, and I took my job very seriously, so it felt very fraudulent for me to want to be on camera, and people just kept saying, be yourself, and for someone that isn't a wacky personality, zany person, I've had to find how it was okay to have a hosting manager, and I thought, I can't be like that. That's not who I am. So did you, as a young girl, realize that you're just going to play it real, or did your mom tell you, mm-hmm. stay who you are?
Oh, yeah. My mom told me it constantly, every day. You know, it, smile with your eyes, and just got to keep your head on and just keep it real and be yourself. And, you know, she always put me in check when I wasn't. She could just tell even the way I was, like, standing after a shoot, if I was, like, posing too much in real life. She's like, really?
Oh, my God. You have just made me... I met a boy again. I got the butterflies. Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's give a couple tips to the listener that wants to get into modeling and to the mom that wants their child to get into modeling, because the most important thing, too, on this show is I want you to focus on the bigger picture. If the bigger picture is getting a cosmetic line,
mm-hmm.
then the bigger picture is, how does my face get that for me? Mm-hmm. It isn't basically like, I'm amazing, look at me. That's
yeah.
only the first layer.
Yeah.
You need to be the person behind it. So can you give us some tips?
I mean, I just think first you have to make realistic goals. Like, if you don't look anything like people who are getting those contracts and there's not a major shift in the beauty industry, don't make the goal to get a beauty contract. I mean, it's just, you don't want to set yourself up for a heartbreak.
It's really true because, you know, we have a tendency to not keep a reality about ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a weird self-esteem that occurs with, we think we're great, but then we don't think we're great at the same time. So why didn't we get this job, this
date? Like self-sabotage yourself. Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Uh-huh. What's the other advice for moms?
Yeah.
I mean, just
ease up
and just try to stay out of it as much as possible. Of course, you want to do anything you can for your kids. But really, like, it just kind of happens if you're in the right place in the right time. And people will find you if you're meant to be in this. So you don't really need to push it.
Oh, my God. Because the bottom line is, I was never the agent that would scout someone because I was very, I cared about people's time when they were alone. I wasn't someone that just wanted to walk up to somebody. But, you know, there was a couple times in my career where I saw a couple people and you're like, you got to go up to them.
Yeah.
Because they just, it's just, it's the God-given sort of...
Yeah.
And it's those, a sparkle,
and those people
too.
Always are found. I mean, really, you won't be missed if you're... And you know what? If you're not found, it's okay.
P.S. It's beyond okay.
Okay.
There's the thing that's really crazy. When I became an agent in 92, we were really, really about the supermodel was Naomi Campbell, Linda Evangelista, mm-hmm. Cindy Crawford, Christy Turlington. Mm-hmm. We were really, that was the kind of thing. When I moved to L.A. in 95, and I came down to, I was working at Bordeaux, and I remember Charlize Theron walked into the agency, and she's a Leo, and I was on the phone talking when I shouldn't be to a girlfriend in the Bay Area, uh-huh. and here comes Charlize Theron, and I just went, oh, Lord. She had just gotten 2 days in the Valley, and I always tell the story. She took over the room.
Yeah.
There was a superstar in the room. You couldn't deny it. It also wasn't just the fact that how beautiful and stunning she was. There was so much charm and personality.
Yeah.
Just like you. Just like the first time I spoke to you on the phone, I got the phone and said, that girl's like really cool. You know, like you want to talk to, that's why I wanted to hug her when I saw her today thinking, I don't even know her. So let's go into Dancing with the Stars.
Woo.
I mean, seriously, because I was like, woohoo, Josie Mara, Dancing with the Stars, woohoo, another one gone on the first time.
Yeah.
Which also is a really, I have to say, from the outsider and also from handling models, is quite a humbling experience because where you get picked for your beauty, you know, and look, I thought you did a great job.
Thank you.
But it is nice to see how, like, the most killer beauty ones, I think the karma's coming back to you, and for some reason they're saying, okay, no.
It's not about that. Yes.
It's not about that. Was that really humbling?
It was a little bit humbling, but I mean, it wasn't as humbling if I really thought I was the best dancer, but I have issues with dancing, so it took me a long time to get to that level, and I wasn't even close to all the other people on the show who did have dancing experience, by the way.
Of course.
But... It's a little bit humbling. I'm used to, you know, winning. So
exactly. And, you know, this is another thing to talk about. When you're used to succeeding all the way through, because actually Jess Zeno, who is a trend forecaster for Home Shopping Network and all over the Style Channel, is going to be a guest on my show. We had lunch the other day, and she said, you know, my mom just told me how special I was. And I said, I didn't grow up that way. How'd that work for you? She goes, it didn't. Because not everyone thinks I'm special. So, you know, when you basically do succeed all the time, there is something that's going to sometimes, I mean, that wasn't really a failure for you by any means. It was a great experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got to learn how to dance, which was awesome. And, you know, I was launching my makeup line at the same time, so it was good for that, too.
Because that's the thing, with you having this, I mean, because I don't think people understand that, you know, you're launching a makeup line and you're on Dancing with the Stars. I don't know how you two both. I think the universe was saying to you, Josie, you can't have this one.
Yeah, everyone at my office was like, thank God you're off. We need you back here.
I mean, and that's the thing. When I realized that the line, when it had come out, I thought, there is no way she could have stayed on the show.
It was really hard.
Because it would have been too demanding, and she's got something that we're going to talk about that is really the real reason why the universe said, no Dancing with the Stars, Josie, you're going to do bigger.
The universe always takes care of you.
Doesn't it? So, okay, so if you have questions for us, it's 1-888-49-KARMA, 1-888-495-2762, and we'll be back. We're going to talk about beauty and how you can get some great tips, be good, be stylish, and be good to the universe and you. Come back.
This is KarmaAir.com.
Have you tried California Psychics yet? We've done over 1 million readings. What are you waiting for? If you have a question about love, career, or just life,
Get a confidential psychic reading in the privacy of your own home. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever experienced, it's free. Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit our website, californiapsychics.com. Try California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT or go to californiapsychics.com. California Psychics, the best or it's free.
Hi, this is Andre Gonzalo from Season 2 of Project Runway, and you're listening to Fashion 411 with Barbara Horowitz.
Oh, did we love Andre Gonzalo. He's coming on again. He's my peeps. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Fashion 411 on Karma Air, and did you know that you can record a comment for Fashion 411 anytime? Just call 888-49-KARMA, follow the prompts, and leave me, your host, Barbara Horowitz, your thoughts on a past or upcoming show, and we'll address it on our next show. That's 888-495-2762. So we're back with Josie, Dancing with the Stars. I mean, I have to say that, you know, the universe was taking care of you.
Yeah, thank you, universe. I needed to go back to work and get rid of these blisters that I had.
You know what? The one thing I think that's really humbling, and again, this show is all about humbling what we think is so aspirational to be inspirational. The one thing that I think is so humbling, I think why the show is doing so well, is the fact that you're really getting to see it doesn't matter who you are.
It's hard work.
How hard is it?
It's hard work. I mean, I've sort of blocked it out at this point, but during it, I was like, this is definitely the top five hardest things I've ever done.
And did you have a dance background?
Not at all. For real, nothing.
And that's obviously why they brought you on the show, too.
Yeah,
because
they're
trying
to see
show
that arc. But, and also just to make fun, make it like really not cool.
which they never did.
I mean, at least they had a sense of humor. And
but
I had
you
a sense
also
of humor
had a sense
with the
of
whole
humor.
Thing. So it wasn't so lame. But, yeah, it was fun, and I really enjoyed getting in shape and learning how to dance, and, well, they didn't think I was in shape, but...
and, you know, I want to talk about that, too, because this is something that we talk about, and not that Josie is that, but, you know, when you're a Sports Illustrated swimwear model, you would think you're at your top shape, but that's not necessarily the case when you're about to go dance with the stars and ballroom dancing. There's a total different type of workout,
body,
isn't it?
And workout that you need for that, and just like strictness, and oh gosh, it was so intense, and those people are so serious about their dancing.
And let's talk about the fact that, you know, I think you're pretty probably genetically blessed, which is
not with rhythm, dude. My dad is Jewish, and it really is. My dad is the worst dancer on the planet.
But
and
just so you know, I'm Jewish, and I got
you
some
can
serious.
Dance.
I got some serious soul.
You're so that's really rare. My unsoulful side kept coming through.
But, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, you need to understand that basically this is a gal in top form. Sports Illustrated does not get any bigger than that. But still, you must have come to the table going, what do you mean I'm out of shape? It must have been the one place where finally you were like, what do you mean I'm not in shape as the way I should be?
Yeah. Yeah, it was... need I guess I for Sports Illustrated you don't need to have, you know, strength, a lot of strength. I thought I was strong.
No heavy lifting.
No.
Just all those beaches.
But I had a daughter, so I thought, you know, after lifting her for a year, it was a lot of heavy lifting, but it wasn't in the places that I needed to be strong.
So I think it's great. I think that was a fantastic challenge for you, and life was bringing you that challenge. And basically, yeah. Josie Maran Cosmetics was saying, no, Josie, this is where you need to go. So how did you decide that I want to get into a cosmetic line? Was it really your dream of being a Maybelline girl?
It was the Maybelline. I mean, I was the Maybelline girl for 10 years, and that was just some random dream that I focused on really hard, and it came true. But other than that, I mean, the reason I started this line was because as I said before, I grew up in an environmentally conscious family, and I sat in the makeup chair for 17 years, well, like 15 years, 10, 15 years at that time when I decided to do this, and I found that there was no makeup that was good enough for a makeup artist, luxurious, and at the same time still organic and natural and healthy for you. So I really felt that there was a hole in the market, and I wanted to fill it with, you know, awesome, chic makeup that's still good for you. And my word is chicological.
I love... Okay, I'm ripping that off. Chicological.
You can add it.
I'm ripping off dumpster diving. Chicological.
I think, honestly,
taking
I came
notes
up,
right now.
We should do a show. It's like... Project Runway, but it's dumpster diving, and it's like even.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm the green expert, and you're the style expert.
Okay, because we'll, you know what? We'll sell it today because Fish, who was on our show with Andre Gonzalo, mm-hmm. who was the runway seating consultant, he's trying to package a show for me right now. But guess what? I ain't nobody, so nobody wants to see me.
So let's do it together.
Let's do it together.
It's dumpster diving, and like we're teaching people, you can be cool. Like my line teaches, you can be cool. And green, you can be cool and
you know what?
Conscious.
It's a great title for a show. Okay, we could stay on this forever. So we're gonna take this off air.
You guys, yeah.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
Sorry, I knew I
something.
Said it
you don't understand. I sold my show Style Council 7 years ago to MTV. But again, who's Barbara Horowitz? No one knows. But who's Josie Maran?
I know. Somebody I've been waiting for the right show. Now I'm
waiting for the right show. So you know what? We're gonna definitely do this. But that does bring us to that we are this sort of kinship. It must be that Bay Area water.
It is.
I don't know what it is, but again, you know, I always get stuck too because Annie Morton was on Sheila and was on with her line Sheila, Bucks County, Pennsylvania girl, worked with Terry Richardson. I mean, unbelievable people. And I keep, as a Virgo and a stylist, say, check out the packaging. So I want to make sure we talk about the product, but I got to say, check out Josie's packaging.
That
I mean,
was
it's beyond chic.
Yeah, and that's something
like
that's very different than any other line right now is that it's chic looking and it's sustainable, green, you know, biodegradable packaging. And that was the whole point of it, was just to show that you can still look like a high-end line and be green at the same time.
You can still be a hottie, and that's the thing. That's what's really important as well, because you know a lot of this. I mean, it's interesting. When my publisher said, "Barbara, but you're not green," I had to start writing this line. And it's in my bio saying, "Barbara doesn't hug trees, but there's shades of green in everything she does." I think the whole idea is that as in the next 10 to 20 years, it's important to be green, but we don't want to lose cool.
No, and sophistication and performance are just as important as being green, because you won't use the product unless it performs.
Did you hear that? A supermodel just said that. Wait. Rewind that again, because it even went over my head.
Well, you can rewind it again, because I don't know. I'm just kidding. And that's just really what we get to prove to the world, and I'm proving it, and now we all get to use it. And it's time to just for everyone. If you're gonna put more crap on the planet, make sure it's sustainable and green.
Yeah, because you know that crap's got to break down on its own. Yeah. So we don't need any stuff that doesn't.
The landfills are over full.
And so the bottom line too is that this is the thing I want to make really clear to people is the fact that being green in 10 to 20 years is not going to be a selling point. It needs to just be what it is.
Yeah, totally. It's not about, this isn't about the marketing. It just happens to be trendy right now, but this is the way of the future.
But as you hear from Josie and I, who basically, you know, we both grew up this way. So when I try to tell people, and this is why I think I don't have a show on the air, because it's still so fashion forward. And the whole point is I didn't just become green because it was trendy. My website was always green. Everything was always green, is my favorite color. This is just how I was. Yeah. This is just how you were.
And I didn't time this line to come out when it was so cool to be green and trendy. I've been working on this for 3 years, and honestly, I launched it. It just happened to be the right time, so would have come out with this even if it wasn't cool.
Because just like his bottom line, too, is that's the same thing for me, and I said this to Linda Loudermilk, who will be on our show at some time, too, is a fantastic green sustainable designer that basically works with different fabrications like bamboo. There's something called Saskawacha, and it's really, really important that we understand that she is fierce cool. You wouldn't even know. And I said to her, I go, what does it feel like to finally be on time? Because being really ahead of the curve, I mean, dumpster diving in wealthy areas, you probably weren't considered very cool. Me cutting stuff out was kind of like in the 80s. That's, you know, we just were consuming. It was the Reaganomics.
I know. Or like I say, I'm blessed with timing, I guess.
So now what I understand is olive oil is one of your fundamental ingredients.
Yes, it is. Olive oil is natural and organic. We use organic olive oil, and it's very nourishing. It's ancient, you know. I mean, anybody can find it, and it's just, I mean, the whole point of my line is that it's simple, it's easy. You can actually pronounce the ingredients.
And if you can pronounce the ingredients, that means that you know what is going on into you and on you.
There's another oil that wasn't featured on my website probably, but we sell it just pure. It's the argan oil. I didn't bring you any today, but
yeah, because I know I sat there thinking, she's so cute. She brought me some beauty products. I was like, I need that olive oil. This
I have to bring you the argan oil.
Yeah, let's talk about argan. What is argan?
It's a nut. It's an argan nut from Morocco. It only grows in Morocco, and it's the oil from the nut, and it's 100% organic. And it's really cool because it gives women jobs in Morocco. It's a woman run cooperative, and the Moroccan government is actually starting to fund like take care of the forest and fund it because it's making a lot of money for these women and it's growing a huge business, and that's huge for Morocco because women don't usually work there and aren't supported in that. So it's like a whole sustainable business. It's great.
Oh my God. So okay, so argan and how is, you know,
and it's like it's better than olive oil. It's regenerative, it's antibacterial, it's the best. It's all I use for my face now. I swear to God, it's like, and usually older women have been
I'm getting
the most comments from them, but I get them from everybody. But they're calling and saying like, because the older you get, the less oils you have, and you need to actually put more oils on your skin. And people with skin spots and eczema and all these diseases, I swear I'm not just pitching this. It's true. People are like, they're healing their skin with argan oil.
Okay, because let me tell you, I'm one of those oldies but goodies with the argan. I've got eczema. I mean, eczema came like when I got.
Can we do a little test? I'll bring some to you.
Okay.
You put it on and you just, I'm not paying you to say anything, but just watch. It'll go away.
Because you know what's really crazy is I went on every single candida diet possible.
Yeah.
I mean, look it. I'm talking that I'm old. I ain't old. You can go look at my picture on the website.
She's not.
I look
hot.
Good. I'm holding some genetics. But I want to be really clear about, you know, my next book is all about getting dressed after 40. But I did, ironically, when I stopped being an agent at Elite, I think the stress of my identity changing, I did all of a sudden get eczema. And I went on every single candida sort of diet and became so weirdly thin vegetarian. And if you're telling me argan oil, that's a really big tip, because
and it's so simple, it's just pure.
Because I have a client that has a baby that has eczema, and
oh my God, it's best for babies. Even for skull cap for babies, and when you're pregnant for
wait. Tell us back skull cap for those non-mommies like me in the room.
Skull cap is what babies get when they're really young, like the first few months. It's this dry skin on their head, and you put oil on it, and the argan oil actually takes it away really quickly.
So basically, because you're not selling just a tube of argan oil, how can they find?
It comes in a bottle.
Comes in a bottle. So Josie, do you want to give a little plug?
Give a little plug. Josie Maron's argan oil. Buy it on JosieMaron.com.
JosieMaron.com. So that's Josie, like the pussycat, and then MARAN.com. You want to get some argan oil. How much does that cost?
$48 for a nice glass bottle of it. It'll last you like 6 months.
And you know what?
And that's really cheap. Like all these other skincare lines would charge you like $150.
That's really cheap.
And it's organic.
I've worked in cosmetics for 5 years, so I handle all the counters. Basically, it is definitely very cheap. So, okay, I wish we had more time because we could go on forever and ever and ever.
But give you're another, giving away.
We are giving away. Tell us what we're giving to one very lucky listener today.
You're getting my new Wildflower Spring Palette, which comes in a hemp silk bag that has two pockets. One pocket will hold the powder compact, which has 5 eyeshadows and 2 blushes and a beautiful pink shimmer for the whole face, and then the other compact holds 4 lipsticks and 4 lip glosses. So, and they're like really cool little compacts, and they're biodegradable. You can put them in your compost or in a landfill. They'll break down in 30 days to dirt. And in the bag comes a mini brush set, and it's like worth at least $150, the whole thing. It's a beautiful little set. You can go on my website, josiemaron.com, and check it out.
No, too. We are really, really, thank you so much for bringing it to us today. And you know what? Literally, just one shout out about olive oil, because it needs to be organic, correct?
Yes. I mean, pesticides and all the chemicals that go into growing all these, you know, natural ingredients, it needs to be organic for the earth's, you know, sake and for your health's sake.
Well, that's fantastic. Josie, thank you for being my guest today. It was really, really a pleasure.
Thank
Lovely
you.
To meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
And that was Fashion 411. I wish it wasn't over. I haven't said that. 6 show in. So I just want to say thank you so much for listening. And next week we will be, you know what? We are going into more Fashion Week. And now we're getting into Los Angeles Fashion Week. And we're going to have a lot for you. And Josie's going to be part of that picture once I tell her about it.
And, I'd love to be part of it.
Basically, please stay tuned. We have a lot going on for you. Thank you.
Ciao.
This is KarmaAir.com.
Have you tried California Psychics yet? We've done over 1 million readings. What are you waiting for? If you have a question about love, career, or just life, get a confidential psychic reading in the privacy of your own home. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever experienced, it's free. Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit our website, californiapsychics.com. Try California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT or go to californiapsychics.com. California Psychics, the best or it's free.
This podcast is copyright of Karma Air 2007 and may not be broadcast, modified, or edited without written consent of KarmaAir.com. Broadcasts of this podcast may occur as long as no unapproved advertisements are attached to the broadcast or on the distribution of the sites.
Life made simple. Karma Air.